Ephesians chapter number 4, and I begin reading in verse 11, where the Bible says, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers." Now let's go slow here. The apostles he gave for the first century, they had to be witnesses of the resurrection to be qualified to be an apostle. So anybody now who claims to be an apostle is mistaken about who he is. Either that or he's an awfully old dude, one or the other. But the Lord put the apostles in place in the first century for a purpose. He gave to us pastors, evangelists, teachers for a purpose. And it says these are specifically gifts of God to us. Now, why would the Lord put people in our lives who will do the things that pastors and preachers and teachers will do? Well, in a nutshell, God has some things he wants to tell us. And in a nutshell, again, there are some things we need to know. And so if God gives some folks the truth and gives it then to us through them, then the Lord's watching over us and taking care of us, and we're benefited by that. So the people that God places in our life, like a pastor or some of these others that are mentioned here, we need to pay attention to that, and we need to give them. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, we are to esteem them highly in love for their work's sake. And so we take note of that and pay attention to that. You say, well, why does he give us those people? Well, the next verse says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, number one, he gives them to us for the perfecting of the saints. Now, you probably know, and if you're not gotten to this in your Bible study yet, I'll fill you in here. When the Bible talks about saints, it's not talking about some special category of people who died and then somebody's going to give them a big honor and declare them to be a saint. That's not what the Bible's talking about at all. In fact, anybody that does that, including any of the denominational groups that do that, is just a bunch of gobbledygook and nonsense, basically. But when the Bible uses the word saint, it's talking about everybody who has come to Christ and received him as Savior. Now, sometimes we say, I heard people say, well, I ain't no saint. Well, number one, if you understand what a saint is, you sure ought to be one. You ought to come to Christ. You ought to be saved. You need to be saved. You'll be glad you are saved when you are. But this passage does address what the folks are meaning when they say, I ain't no saint, because even when folks come to Christ, they are not perfect the morning after they are born again. They're not perfect just because they got baptized or because they joined the church. And so they need to be perfected. Perfected. My wife is an artist and a real good one, I think. And she will paint something using oils or acrylics. She'll paint it. And I look at it and I'll say to her, that is absolutely, absolutely fantastic. Wrap it up. And she, oh, no, I'm not done with it. And I will look at it and I'll say, well, I don't think it needs a thing. And she said, oh, yes, I've got to do a little here and a little there. And you know what she's doing? And then every time when she gets finished doing the little dab here and little dab there, I look at it and I say, oh, yeah. She's perfecting it. The one that she painted recently for our Christmas card, we photographed it and printed it for our Christmas card. I took the painting, the original, hung it in my office. And she comes through the office one day and she looked at that. She said, well, I've got to take that home. I said, no. People are enjoying it. She said, I know, but there's a couple of things I need to do. And she's perfecting on it. Now, when you come to Christ, you get saved on a Sunday at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and you're going to get up on Monday, and you're not going to be perfect. Your name may be Smith, it may be Ross, it may be Jones, it may be Brown, it may be whatever, but I promise you, you will not be perfect come Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. But if you come back next Sunday and listen to what's being given from the Bible, the teacher, preacher, pastor, evangelist, whoever is at this platform and who has given you the Word of God will give you things so that you will be able to, oh, let's see, what I do to it now? Oh, yeah, 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 right there. And you perfect yourself as you go. You'll not be a perfect Christian. But if you listen closely, you'll keep perfecting and getting better at who you ought to be. So why do we have these officers in the church, pastors and others? For the perfecting of all of us. Then secondly, for the work of the ministry. Did you notice what's been going on here this morning? Well, to start with, all these buildings just popped up here out of nowhere. And not only that, but those buses out there, they just showed up one day. I mean, didn't have any help. They just arrived. They showed up full of gas, oil change, all that. No. It's work to put up the buildings. It's work to get the buses and get them ready to roll. And not only what happened here this morning, I mean, there's things going on for the children, people keeping the nursery back there now. Brother Ross was over there with the teenagers doing things with them. He left me over here with a group in the auditorium. And all of that, you say, is that work? Well, I promise you, you get in and do some of it, and when your day's half done, you may be a little tired. It is work, and it is the ministry. And so we perfect the saints, and then we activate the work of the ministry. I mean, there could be no Christmas music that you're going to have next week if somebody didn't put the work in. You think the choir just stood up here and sang what they did a little while ago and the song they'd never heard of? No. There's a little dab of work involved in that. You know? Now, why do we have these folks, like pastor, etc.? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying, watch this one now, for the edifying of the body, of this local body of believers, for the edifying of the body. And you say, what is that edify thing? If we get this going like we ought to get it going, it will be good for all of us. It will help all of us. All of us will be strengthened. We'll be stronger. We'll have a better life. We'll have things going more like they ought to go if we get the full benefit of what's going on here. When I was pastor, as I was for a long time, I would once in a while say to our folks, if you'll just be here every Sunday morning, and if somehow you'll manage to rearrange your schedule and be here for another hour, hour and a half on Sunday night, and then if you will manage, I mean, come in your work clothes if you have to, I mean, eat a hot dog and rush in the door and come 10 minutes late if you have to on Wednesday night, but if you'll get here on Wednesday night, I promise you that Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, we will do stuff from this pulpit which you soak it in this year and you soak it in next year and you get 5 years of it and you get 8 years of it and down the line, and there'll come a point where you will say, wow, look what has happened with our family. With your kids, with that person you're married to, I mean, all of that, I mean, we're gonna work at helping to edify, to enhance, to enrich, to strengthen what you got already. Now, you say, is that what the pastor's about? That's what he's about. Is that what these special meetings are about? That's what they're about. Now, he goes on to say, and watch verse 13 now. I said we go slow here for a minute. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, and the word perfect, I should have told you earlier, it really means maturity. It's not talking about ever being flawless, at least not in this life, but it's talking about maturity. unto a mature person, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is, we have somebody that we can look at, the Lord Jesus. Please don't look at me and expect to measure by me. I hope I'll be a decent example, but I'm not the Lord. The Lord is the Lord, and you and I look at him as our perfect example. And when we pattern after him and we mature, we grow. Betty and I have a little rose garden. We don't live in the White House, but we have a little rose garden. Although I've thought about running, but anyway. Maybe running from it, but anyway. We put out a couple little red roses, and then a friend of ours in East Tennessee gave us a yellow rose. So we have, I think, two reds, one pink, and a yellow. And they're out just from the back door, maybe 30 feet. And those roses, and I don't know what the scheme, I haven't studied it, I don't know what the scheme and the schedule is, but they bloom, and it's looked like they're fading away, and for a few days it looks like, well, they're about done, and next thing you know, here they go again. And sometimes she and I will walk out there and look at them, and I will say, now that one looks like it's got a problem of some kind. And she'll say, I'll get Dwight to treat that one. And Dwight's the guy that mows our yard and stuff. She said, I'll get him to treat that one. And after a while, I'll go out and look at it again, a couple of weeks, and boy, it's coming on. And I could show you, I've got on my iPad, I think I've got some pictures of some of those roses when they are strutting their stuff. Oh, that they've matured. I mean, with the naked eye, they just look absolutely, I mean, they look, I know they're not flawless, but they look flawless. And what the Lord is after with all of us, I mean, somewhere along the way, I mean, it's like that rose garden. You get the aphids and other things that come along that does damage, and everybody in their life along the way, you'll pick up some things. You'll get some garbage in your life. You'll get some things that attach to you like a leech, and they're going to suck the lifeblood out of you, and they're going to cause you hurt. They're going to make you miserable. But if you tend to it like you ought to tend to it, and the maturity comes, there'll come a time when you'll be able to say, look what has happened to her. Look what has happened to him. Look at what the Lord has done in their life. And that perfecting and that maturing takes place until we are measuring ourselves then, not by some celebrity, but measuring ourselves by the Lord Jesus himself. And saying, he's the one I'm following. And then that next verse, verse 14, says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. When he says that you henceforth be no more children, I noticed some of you coming in today with children that were small enough, you're carrying them in your arms. And all little ones like that, you know, we look at them and we ooh and ah. In fact, I saw one little girl out in the lobby out there who's just barely walking, looks like she might be 2 years old. She was dressed up real pretty, and she looked up at me and flashed those eyes at me, and I kind of spoke to her. She's just a darling little thing. I don't know who she is, but just a sweet, precious little thing. And we all ooh and ah at the little ones. But 10 years from now, we don't want those little ones to still be little ones. We want them to grow up. This is the first time Jonathan and I have done a trip together, just the two of us. So why didn't you do it 10 years ago? Pretty obvious. But see, we can do that now because he's no longer a little guy. Now, what we want to see happen in your life, in your family, your marriage, as a teenager, whatever the case, we want to see you come to the place where you're no more. Listen, there's babies back there in that nursery right now that are crying their eyes out. Say, what's the matter with them? Nothing. You say, oh, it's got to be something. And the only thing matter with them is they're kin to you. They're crying their eyes out. You know, they get where they can walk, they'll run around. Sometimes they'll just be standing somewhere and they just start crying for no reason whatsoever. Now, what's going on? Well, he needs his parents when he does that. You know, there's a cure for such things, you know. Now, 10 years from now, he's not going to be doing that because he's going to grow up. And then another 10 years, and he's going to be grown some more, and we're all going to say, man, look what a young man, look what a young lady they have grown into. And we want that to happen. It shouldn't stay the same way that it was back then. He said, all of this is so that you won't just be children forever. You know, the little ones, I mean, you can take a piece of candy or some glittering toy, and you know, I mean, you just say, hey, here it is, and that, I mean, they'll wander out into the cold. They don't know where the dangers are, and he's saying that you be no more children tossed to and fro with every ill wind that blows, but instead you're strong and you're able to be something that maybe you have not been up to now. Now, there's a bunch of things down through this, and I hit a couple of others just going past here. Verse 17 says, he says to them, and by the way, he says that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. You know, there comes a time. You might say, well, I've been exposed to booze and dope and this and that and another. There'll come a time when you, with the Lord's help, you'll be able to look at that and you'll be say, that crowd may walk that way, but that's not my walk anymore. You may not be able to do that by yourself, but with God's help, you can do it. Verse 20, he talks about some of that junky stuff, and he says, you didn't learn that from Christ. In fact, that verse 20, I preached a whole message to a big crowd of women at a Sword Ladies Jubilee a few months ago. I preached that 20th verse, and I entitled it, Wherever You Got It, You Didn't Get It From Jesus. I mean, we got folks, I mean, it's like, oh, I want to do this, and I want to do that, and something else. I mean, just stuff that, I mean, it ought to, I mean, we ought to recognize it as garbage, even without our glasses. But a lot of folks are wanting to say, oh, well, you know, I mean, I can go to church, and I can do that. Listen, some of that stuff, the garbage, the drink, the dope, the running around looking like, mercy. You didn't get that from him. When you come to him, he doesn't take you down into that. He lifts you up from that and makes you something that you never would have been before. Not only true for you, it's true for all of us. You walk down through this, and I mean every verse is laden with something. But I drop all the way down into chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Put the cap on this. He says, see then, knowing all this stuff, see then, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The days are evil. There's bad stuff happening in these days. The first weekend of let me get this right. It might have been the second weekend last month. I think it was a month ago this very weekend. Was a weekend that I had home. In fact, I was booked to be someplace and it was canceled, and so I just left it and stayed home. I went to church that Sunday. Betty and I did, we're a member there in town. We sat near the back that Sunday. Sitting in front of us, about 8 or 9 or maybe 10 rows in front of us, was a couple that we know very, very well, people that we consider to be friends. The pastor had a luncheon for veterans at which the gentleman that I'm talking about, he attended. His wife decided not to go with him. She went down the street and went home. When the luncheon was finished, she came back and picked him up. They were one of the last ones to leave that luncheon. And when they pulled off the parking lot of the church, they pulled into oncoming traffic, and both of them were killed right in front of the church. Instantly. Precious people. And both of them, their lives were snuffed out. Now, there's things happening like that all of the time. Friday in our city, a motorcyclist made a miscue down on South Church Street, hit a truck, and was killed. 37-year-old man out on 840, just within 2 miles of my house, tire blew. He went across the median, hit somebody else, and was killed. At the same time all of that was happening, some lady from Colorado decided to jump off of a bridge onto Interstate 24 about a mile from the offices of the Sword, and three cars hit her, and of course she was killed. Now we live in days where garbage, terrible things are happening all the time. I back up to this. God's given us pastors. He's given us leaders. He's given us people to instruct us and teach us and help us, because he has a plan for us. But we live in times, listen, you can get caught up in things that'll ruin your life. You can get caught up in things that'll take you down trails where nobody ought to ever go. But what he tells us here is, don't be a fool, be wise, and redeem the time. You say, what's he saying? He's saying, with all of this that's going on, you be a smart fella. And you make good use of the time that's given to you. Don't waste the opportunity. You've got a chance to get it right. You've got an opportunity to do something great. Now, there may be people around you all the time pulling on you to go do trashy things, but you don't have to go. You don't have to do that. I could stand here for several minutes and tell you story after story, some of which I've told in this pulpit before, about times when people have tried to get me to go and do things that nobody should do, even when I was a teenager. And I thank God that I had some influences in my life that strengthened me for that. And I mean, sometimes when I had to look somebody right in the eye and say, no, not going there. I'm going to tell you, I've never regretted any of that. And what he's saying is here, you've got time, use it. Redeem the time. You've got an opportunity, make the best of it. You know, I think about the day when somebody came down that little dirt road where we lived in western Kentucky when I was a boy, down a dirt road, no gravel on it. Mm-mm. I see you got the blacktop on last year or two. There was a point where it was just gravel out there, and some of it's still gravel. What if it didn't have a little gravel at all on it? I tell you what it'd be in the wintertime, it'd be mud. Because that's the road we lived on. It was a half mile long, and it didn't have any gravel on it. It was a mud road in the wintertime. We lived the last little house on a farm, but somebody came down that road talking about Jesus. And that's what got me in. That's what got me to the Savior. That's what got the Savior to me. And I'm telling you, I will forever be grateful that somebody cared enough to talk about the Savior to help me see the light. And, you know, Blessed Hope Baptist Church is a lighthouse. What are we here for? What are we doing? We're just praying, hoping, trusting that somebody will find their way into this building today. Maybe for whatever reason, they haven't found the Savior up to now, but we hope that we'll be able to help them to make that choice. So that there'll be another story like mine and like some of the rest of the folks here. Redeeming the time. I'm so glad there's a pastor. I'm so glad there's a church. I'm so glad there's others who fit into this. What are they doing? They're perfecting the saints. They're doing the work of the ministry. They're edifying the body of Christ. They're doing what they can to help folks to not stay children and to not get trapped up with every ill wind that blows, and advising, make good use of the time, because these days are evil days. I don't want to scare you, but if I could scare you to do it, I would scare you. But I'm telling you, time runs out. And I've lost track of how many times somebody made their last service and didn't know it. But I want you to know something. There's a Savior in heaven. He was born in Bethlehem. He came to die on the cross and rise from the grave and pay every debt that we owe, so that we could go to heaven when we die. And if you don't know him as your Savior, you'd make me a very happy person if I got to tell you about the Savior today. And it'd be a bunch of other folks rejoice with you as well. Let's stand up together and we'll pray. Our heads bowed for prayer. Here it is again now. Jesus died on the cross. He rose from the grave to pay our sin debt so that we could be right with God, so that we could be admitted to the family of God, so we could go to heaven when we die. But it has to be a real decision made from the heart, something you really mean. You know, if you were shopping for a car, you could shop all day long and still go home without wheels. Somewhere, if you're shopping for a car, somewhere you've got to look at the salesman and say, I'll take that one. Sign on the dotted line, put your money down. If you're trying to find an apartment to rent, you may look at a bunch of them. Finally, you have to make a choice. There's more than one. You'll have to make a choice. And when it comes to this matter of the Savior, you do have some choices. You can spend your life in some other ways and see where it takes you. But if you want to come to the Savior, I promise you, he has his arms outstretched, more than willing, more than ready, ready to love you, ready to help you. And I'm going to ask you today, if you've not made the choice, would you decide to do it on this 14th day of December in 2014? Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And if you would say, just with the uplifted hand, you'd say, I remember the day I did make a definite decision, and I remember the day that I claimed Christ as my Savior, and I know that I'm headed for heaven because of that. And you'd testify by the uplifted hand. Would you do it with me? And just say, God bless you. God bless you, many of you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Now, just before I pray, and again, nobody but Brother Ross and me looking around, if there's somebody who would say, I haven't done that yet, but I need to, and please pray for me. Please pray for me. I'll not embarrass you. I don't know your name, but I'll just pray with you in mind. But if you'd slip your hand up just to say, I don't have it settled yet, but when you pray, just remember me, you'd slip your hand up right quick. Anybody? Anybody looking all the way around? Yes, on the back over here. God bless you. And another one here. God bless you. And back there, God bless you. Yes, thank you. Several of you. Anyone else? Well, our Father, I thank you that several people realize they do need to be saved. And dear Lord, I pray that in just a minute when the music begins, that they'll make this the day when they'll make that step to receive the Savior. Help them to not be afraid, but to know that you're ready and willing to help them. I pray that it shall be so. In Jesus' name.